2 Corinthians 5, and we're starting from verse 11, and that is page 1161 in the Church Bibles. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 11 through to the end, entitled The Ministry of Reconciliation. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Well, as you can see on the screen, and as Tim's mentioned, we're talking about being ambassadors. But what I want to do is I want to start off with a question. What's the first thing that comes into your head when you hear the word ambassador? If you've got one of those handouts, then maybe jot something down. What do you perceive to be the role of an ambassador? What does an ambassador look like? What does an ambassador sound like? Have just a quick think about it, because it would help us to have an idea in our minds before we come on to the passage. What is an ambassador? Let me take you back in time a little bit, back 20 years or so ago. I grew up, as some of you know, in a very un-British place. I grew up on the Indian Ocean island of Madagascar. And a very un-British place. Very un-British. Not very many British people there. Very French. Used to be a French colony. Not very British. That's where I grew up. But once a year, there was a Christmas party that we always went to as a family. Every year, there was this massive Christmas party that we really looked forward to. It was a party at a house that was not too far away from where we lived. It wasn't a house that was massively different from our own. It was quite a bit nicer, quite a bit bigger, but, you know, still a house, not a mansion. Every year, there was a really good Christmas party at this house. So we'd all get our smart clothes on, me and my siblings and my parents. We'd all clamber into our big red Land Rover, and we'd make our way over to this house. We were probably the shabbiest people at the whole thing. And where I grew up in Madagascar, there weren't many Christmas parties. People didn't tend to do Christmas parties generally. But even if everybody did do Christmas parties, this one would still have stood out. Because as soon as you came in the front gate of the area, you realized this was a British party. Everything at this party was British. There was British music playing. British music didn't generally get played at that time in Madagascar. French stuff, Malagasy stuff, no British stuff. You come here, British music is playing. The food that was served was British. There were British beers and drinks being served, not that that meant anything to me at the time. I was only about 7 or something. All the decorations that were up were the kind of Christmas decorations you'd have here in Britain. Things like a Christmas tree, things like tinsel, things that Malagasy people didn't really have. All the people at the party were British as well, even though this was right in the capital city of Madagascar. And the reason it was so British was because this was at the British ambassador's house. Every year, everyone who was British in the capital city was invited to the British ambassador's house for a Christmas party. And although this house was like many, many others, like I said, as soon as you came into this house, you knew this was British. You knew everything about what you were in, the environs of where you were. It was British. And growing up, I didn't know that many British people. I didn't really have many British friends. I had lots of Malagasy friends, one or two French, one or two American, one or two South African. But I didn't know that many British people outside of my family. And so when I went to the British ambassador's house, it felt like I was coming home. It felt like I was going back to Britain itself. And it wasn't just me that felt like this. It was such an encouraging thing for British people in general to have sort of something British to go to every year. And the ambassador and his wife would try really hard every year to just try and go that extra mile to make it as British, as quintessentially British as they could do. So once they even had Brussels sprouts shipped in. You can't get Brussels sprouts in Madagascar. They even had Brussels sprouts shipped in. My parents were very impressed. I was not. I was about 7. I thought, why would you go to all that effort for a Brussels sprout? I mean, it's any number of things you could have got instead, but no, Brussels sprouts. Because the job of an ambassador is to represent his country and to do everything he can to represent that country to a nation that doesn't really know what Britain is about. British style, British food. Even though he's in a foreign country, he's, you know, miles away. You'll see where Britain is and Madagascar is, miles and miles away from actual British soil. But that's what an ambassador is in our normal kind of definition. A citizen of one country on placement in another, representing his country, his government, carrying whatever message, whatever diplomatic message maybe his government needs to give. And as Tim said earlier, in our evening series, we're thinking about being witnesses for Christ. And each week we're thinking about a different kind of illustration that kind of helps us to think through what it means for us to be living as witnesses for Jesus. Last week we saw that we're a signpost. We're all about pointing to Jesus, not drawing attention to ourselves, but pointing to him. Tonight we're thinking about being ambassadors. And we've just had it read out in 2 Corinthians 5. Have a look at verse 20 there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are Christ's ambassadors to the world, representing him to those around us. That's what we're going to be looking at. And we're just going to break it down into two simple sections. We're just going to simply look at who we are as ambassadors and what we do, what we should be doing as ambassadors. And the first thing we're going to see about being an ambassador is that we are not citizens of where we find ourselves in. In a sense, we are strangers. We are aliens right now. We don't belong here. Because an ambassador of Christ is firstly a citizen of heaven. That's the first big thing we see about what an ambassador of Christ is. Have a look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. I know that we didn't have it read out earlier, but we're going to be flicking around that whole chapter. So keep it open in front of you. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Paul talks about the bodies that we now inhabit being like tents, an earthly tent. And the bodies we will have in heaven being like a permanent building that God will give us. So straight away, a tent is temporary. Nobody chooses to live in a tent. A permanent building, that's where we belong. The language is of us belonging in heaven. And already this language will be an encouragement to those of us who already feel right now like our bodies are already failing us a little bit. For those of us that are aching and creaking in our bodies a little bit more than we used to, a little bit more than perhaps younger people in the church do. I remember my grandma, she passed away last year, but I remember talking to her not long before that, and she was telling me that she just had never got around aging, her head around it. She said, I don't feel any different. I genuinely don't feel any different. And I remember Sarah's grandma saying the same thing. She looked in the mirror and she sort of felt, who's this old lady looking back at me? And my grandma, she still had a kind of a wit and a playfulness right up until her later years. And that stayed, but her body got older. It got more and more frail, got more and more painful as she got into her 80s. And she'd see a body that was just increasingly failing her, up to the point where God decided, actually, you're done with that body, and he called her home to be with him. She was very conscious of the fact that this body, this existence now, is a temporary one. It's a tent. And actually what God has for us is a permanent building that is in the kingdom of heaven. I remember Tim mentioning the same verses at Colin's funeral, that the reason, you know, Colin was going up to be in the kingdom of heaven, he didn't need that earthly tent anymore. That's all that we were burying. He was going to be with the Lord Jesus in the kingdom of heaven. He was going to have that permanent building instead of just a frail tent. So as ambassadors for Jesus, the first thing we have to remember is there is a sense in which we really, really don't belong here. Philippians 3 verse 20 says this, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Those are incredible verses, aren't they? And our citizenship is in heaven. We could turn to countless other verses in the Bible that talk about the fact that we are to consider heaven to be our home. That's where we belong. Not here. The British ambassador in Madagascar, you know, to Madagascar, he never applied for a permanent visa to stay in Madagascar. He knew he wasn't going to be there forever. And no matter how much he liked Madagascar, an ambassador would never try to stay indefinitely. He belonged back in Britain. His career was back in Britain. His family was back in Britain. And that's the first thing we have to remember about what it means for us to be ambassadors. We are citizens of heaven. And that's easier for some of us to kind of automatically think and automatically feel than it is for others. Those who are most aware of their sort of false citizenship now will also be those that are most aware of their true citizenship in heaven. So those whose bodies are failing them now will most long for that heavenly body to be a reality. Those who have the least in this life will most long for the riches of the kingdom of heaven. Those who are most neglected in this life will often be the ones that most long to feel that eternal embrace of the Lord Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth. But for those of us for whom actually everything's going pretty well, it's a different kind of story, isn't it? We can be tempted to kind of go the other way. If we're doing well, if we're comfortable in this life, if we're satisfied, if we like the goodies that the world kind of shows us and offers us, then we'll be tempted to become permanent residents here. And if not, we'll be tempted to become permanent residents. We'll act like we're permanent residents. We won't act like we belong somewhere else. We'll act like this is kind of it. And we must remember that we don't belong here. Our citizenship is in heaven. We belong to Jesus. We belong to that greater kingdom, even though we don't see it as clearly as we'd like to yet. And the reason we don't see it as clearly as we'd like to yet is because although we are citizens of heaven, we are on placement in life. Citizens of heaven, on placement in life. When somebody is saved and comes to faith in Jesus, when their eyes are opened so they can see Jesus for who he really is and they can put their trust in him, when that happens, they're not immediately whisked off to heaven. I mean, sometimes that happens. People do come to faith right before God calls them home, and you know, they die and they go straight to be with Jesus. But that's not the norm, is it? It doesn't happen often. Usually we're given that new citizenship in Jesus' kingdom, and then we're put on placement here in life. Elsewhere in Philippians chapter 1, Paul talks of his longing to be with Jesus, but his purpose in not yet going to be with him. He says this in Philippians 1. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And here in 2 Corinthians, have a look at verse 8 now. Again, we didn't have it read earlier. But look at what Paul says in verse 8. He talks of how he would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. But as long as we are here in this world with a job to do, verse 9, we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. As long as we are here, as long as we are in this world, as long as we live this life that God has given us, we are on placement here. We've been placed in our particular contexts, our particular friendships, our particular workplaces, our particular neighborhoods for a reason. The friends we're given, the neighbors we're given, none of this is random. All of these things are things that God has placed us into. He called us to belong to him, and so our citizenship is in heaven, but then he places us in this life. And we need to be aware of that. The British ambassador, as I said earlier, he never applied for permanent residency. He knew he wouldn't be there long, and he knew that he just had to do a job for a few years, and then he'd be going home. But just because he didn't put down permanent roots, just because he never applied for permanent citizenship, didn't mean that he didn't get to know anyone around him. He would still learn the language. He'd still meet Malagasy people, work alongside them, get to know their culture and their norms. I mean, imagine a British ambassador who's sent out to the other side of the world, travels all that way, and then just stays in his little house and refuses to go out and refuses to have any visitors. And every time the phone rings, he kind of scuttles over to it, picks it up, and if the person on the other side of the receiver isn't speaking his language, he just hangs up and goes and hides again. We as ambassadors for Jesus must remember that although we belong to Jesus, that greater kingdom, we are placed where we are now for a reason. God has put us here. He's given us people to be friends with, people to work alongside. It's not random. Tim was making that point this morning from Acts. And it's something that Paul himself sees as well. It's a point that he wants to make as well. Have a look at verse 16. As Paul is talking about his ministry to people in verse 16, look at his attitude. Verse 16, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Whoever we come across in life, they're not just a person. They're not just that annoying neighbor who always puts the bins out on the wrong day and cannot get it into their head what they're supposed to do. It's not just that. There's more to them than that. God has put them next door to you. They're not just that person that you'd much rather not be on a team with at work because they're just so awkward to work with. They're not just that. They're more than that. That girl in your class who just seems to have it in for you, and no matter what happens, she just seems to absolutely hate you. She's more than just that. We are on placement in our lives. God puts people across our paths, people that need the gospel, people that need to see what a Christian looks like, people that need to see something of Jesus in you as you share that space with them. So whose space are you sharing at the moment? Where has God placed you at the moment? We are ambassadors, citizens of heaven, but on placement in this life. So we've looked a little bit about who we are. But what about what we do? We don't just act like everybody else, do we? We don't just live for the same things everybody else does. Verse 9, we saw we live to please Jesus. Before ourselves, even before pleasing others, we live to please Jesus. But as we think about what we are to do as ambassadors, first thing we do as ambassadors is we live the message. Have a look at verse 17. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So anyone now in Christ, is a whole new person, a whole new creation. We're not the same as we once were. We were under judgment, cut off from God, under his wrath. But now, because of Jesus, we're brought in from that status and we're given amazing hope, real hope, real new life. And now, through Jesus, we're citizens of heaven, brought near to God, and citizens of an eternal, perfect kingdom that can never end, where there's no suffering. That's where we've been brought to. That's where we belong now because of what Jesus has done for us. But what we must not do, now we've got this new citizenship, is live a double life. We've got that new residency, that new citizenship. It's amazing. And then we hold on to our earthly passport and we carry on with our heavenly citizen passport. About 10 years ago, I applied for an Australian passport. My mother's Australian and I am technically an Australian citizen. And about just over 10 years ago, I was about to fly to America. And I needed an electronically readable passport to get through their customs. And my British passport was an older one. It wasn't electronically readable. But it still had a few years left on it, so I didn't want to replace it. So I thought, I know, I'll get my Australian passport. So I got it. You know, sent off for it, filled out a little application, went to the office, the offices near Trafalgar Square, and got that all sorted. You know, not long later, delivery man turns up with my Australian passport. I've now got dual citizenship. Put the two passports in the same little plastic wallet thing, and I can choose whenever I go somewhere whether I want to be Australian or whether I want to be English. I don't go so far as to switch between accents, but I can choose between the two. And one time, I chose to be Australian. I was in Barcelona with Sarah, and we happened to be there when Chelsea were playing against Barcelona in the Champions League, and Chelsea won. I don't know whether to agree with that or not, but Chelsea won, and the Chelsea won, and people in Barcelona were not happy about it. There were a few dodgy decisions. There was a general kind of frustration and anger around the city. And the next day, Sarah and I were at a coffee shop, and I ordered my drink, and he kind of carried on with things, and he kind of, you know, one of those high bar things, and he was getting this cup, and he looked at me and he said, "You're not English, are you?" And I said, no, I'm Australian. Which obviously, it wasn't technically a lie, but it was a bit sneaky. But I just chose in that moment, I'd rather be Australian, actually. Life is easier for me right now to be an Australian. There's no guarantee that he's going to punch me or anything if I was English. But in that moment, I wanted to be Australian. And I felt like, you know, my Australian part, that's the real me. And we can be tempted to be like that with our citizenship of heaven, can't we? We can choose to hide it sometimes. We can choose to wear it proudly sometimes. According to what the world around us is like. If we're in an environment where it seems like Christians are not particularly tolerated here, then we'll stick that citizen of heaven passport in our back pocket and we'll, no, we're earthly, we're like you guys. When we're at church, we'll sing up. We'll be the first ones to answer, you know, a Bible study question. We'll nod vigorously when the preacher says something we really agree with. What we see here in 2 Corinthians 5 is that we are a whole new creation in Christ. Tim said it this morning, when we receive the gospel, it doesn't just get tacked on to your existing worldview. It transforms your worldview. When you really receive the gospel, it isn't that you understand it, you have the worldview, and you kind of filter the gospel through that. No, it's the other way around. The gospel transforms everything. And from that point onwards, the gospel is the lens by which you understand everything that has been, everything that is, and everything that will be. And if you don't see the gospel to be that big a deal, then it's probably because you haven't really seen it yet. Everything that has come, everything that is yet to come, look at verse 18 at the end. The end of verse 18. God reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. As we saw earlier, we are sent by God on placement in this life. God has given us a message, not just to carry, but to live out. Because as we live our lives and we call ourselves Christians, we represent Christ to everybody we come across. As Jesus says to his disciples at the beginning of the book of Acts, you're going to be my witnesses to the nations. The way we live our lives matters. As ambassadors for Jesus, we must live the message of the gospel, a message of patience, a message of justice, of love, of real, real hope, hope that the world cannot give you, real, pure hope that people are crying out for. And as the British ambassador in Madagascar, you know, reflected the values and character of kind of the British people to the Malagasy people. So we must reflect the character of Jesus to people around us, to the world around us. It's a message that we speak, we're going to see that in a moment, but it's a message that we also live out every day. Every day conscious of just how much Jesus has done for us. And so every day determined to live lives that are distinct. Coming back to what Tim said last week, being signposts to him. We must make sure that we're determined to be glorifying to him, even when it's easier to pretend that we're like everyone else. We're not like everybody else. We are a whole new creation. We belong to Jesus. We live for him and for his message. And that message is a message that we live, but it's also a message that we speak. Verse 20, and these are the core verses, aren't they? Verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God uses us to carry this message to the nations, this message to the people that we find ourselves in the midst of. And although it's true that you must live the message out, we must never, never forget we are to speak it as well. That living it out is just really to back up what we speak. There is a really annoying quote that bounces around Christian institutions, which I'm sure you've heard. It's wrongly attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Have you heard that? It's wrongly attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. I find it annoying because it's not in the Bible, and yet it's treated like it is. But actually the value of it is, the wisdom of it is fairly similar to, you know, those little fridge magnets say, you sort of don't worry, be happy. It's about the same sort of value of wisdom as that. It's not in the Bible. That's reason one. It's not in the Bible. But the second reason I find it frustrating is because things like that are so easy to hide behind as Christians, aren't they? Because we want it to be true. We want it to be true that actually just living a good life amongst people will be enough. We'd love the Bible to say that. Because the world is okay with us doing that. The world is okay with us living a good life, but not telling anybody about it. Being a good guy and being a Christian guy, but don't try and convert anyone. Don't try and tell them about Jesus. Don't try and tell them they're a sinner. We'd love that to be true. Because then we'd never have to have those awkward conversations that we dread having. Sadly, sometimes people in the church environment, in Christian environment, pretend like that phrase has authority, and it doesn't. We have a message to speak to people. The message of Jesus. It doesn't mean we all have to be street evangelists. Doesn't mean we all have to be pastors and stand up on a pulpit and preach like that, but it does mean we have to be ready to talk to people about Jesus. Actually tell people what the gospel is. Because verse 19, God has given us this message of reconciliation, and there are people out there that are crying out for it, that need to hear it. Romans 10, verse 13 says this: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Let's break that down a bit. How can somebody hear without somebody telling them the message? The message that we carry as Christ's ambassadors is one that we live out as we represent Jesus to people around us, but it's one that we must speak. Faith in Jesus is not something that someone can catch off of you. Someone was making this point to me yesterday, a Christian I was talking to. It was such a good point. We'd love it if non-Christian came in and we could kind of rub the Christian off on them. Job done. Doesn't work, does it? It doesn't happen like that. Them coming into a church environment, coming into a building like this, they won't catch Christianity off us. The way that God has chosen to do it is for that message to be spoken, to be lived out in support of the spoken message, but it is a spoken message. How you live your life matters. You are a new creation in Christ, but the most important thing is that message of Jesus being spread. That's why there's that plea there in verse 20. Have a look at verse 20. He talks about being Christ's ambassadors. But then he says this, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." That's the gospel right there, isn't it? That's the message that we carry. We urge people to be reconciled to God, to recognize the fact that they are sinful and separated from God, but to see that Jesus has come. He that had no sin came to be sin for us, and through him we can now be made perfect in God's eyes. Do no other way. You might have noticed our songs have been all about the centrality of Jesus. No other name but the name of Jesus. It's so important that people hear his name, because there's no other name by which they can be saved. So let's wrap up. We are all ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. That means we're citizens of heaven on placement in life. We live the message and we speak the message. On your handouts on the other side, there's just some space for you to take notes. On this side, there's a few questions which I think would be helpful for us to just have a moment to think about. Do use these questions to talk about after the service, but let's just have a moment just to consider them now, just to think through, just to contemplate what God has said to us through this passage tonight. If we are citizens of heaven, what does it mean to realize that? What difference does it make to you to remember daily that you don't belong here, you belong in heaven? Do you ever find yourself acting like actually like a permanent resident here? And actually you'd rather be a permanent resident here? Challenge yourself to think, where has God put you on placement? Who has he put you with? What people do you share a space with? People that need to see Jesus, need to hear the gospel. In what areas could you be living the message more? Are there any areas where you're living, you know, one way at church with Christian friends, living totally differently somewhere else? And in what areas do you need to be bolder in speaking the message? Do hold on to that. Take that away with you. Use it however you'd find helpful, whether it's chatting to someone, whether it's just thinking about it, making notes yourself. But why don't I pray that God would make us all more effective ambassadors for Jesus? Father, we recognize before you and we confess our frailty and our cowardice and our selfishness so often. So often we live for the things that the world gives us and we fail to represent Jesus to the people around us. But we thank you that we have your Spirit empowering us and we have your purposes that we serve. And we thank you that the gospel cannot fail, that you choose to use weak people like us, just mere jars of clay. You use us for such glorious, glorious purposes. You use us to call the lost into the kingdom. And so we praise you and we thank you. And we just ask that you would make us more effective ambassadors for Jesus. May we remember where our citizenship really is. May we be really aware of where you have placed us and why you've placed us there. And may we be those that live the message and speak it boldly. For the glory of Jesus, we pray it. Amen.